Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Welcome back to another episode of... And welcome back to another episode of Mostly Lit. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Welcome back to another week.
We are so sorry we were not there last week. We actually did record an episode and then something went left.
Yeah. As these things tend to do.
Yeah.
But we're here, we're back, and we've got some stuff for you guys this week.
This is a real chilled episode, so get your tea, make your nice cup of coffee. We don't accept people who drink frappes here.
What?
It's black coffee only.
Black coffee?
Black.
Not even a splash of milk.
I mean, no. I had to think about
that one.
Just
to sit there and think about it.
No.
Oh, what a mess.
So get, you know, like, brew your tea, brew everything, and come here to relax. We're saying goodbye to this British summer.
Yeah, we are saying goodbye to summer. It's ended now. We're in September. We're in the last quarter of the year. Have you guys set your goals?
To be honest, I love autumn. So I love it up until, like, November. And then I hate it because I don't really like winter blues, and New Year is my least favourite holiday of all.
I know it makes me really depressed. I like the New Year.
I don't, because it reminds me how, I think maybe this year might be different because New Year reminds me how alone I am.
Oh, please. But
this year is going to be different. I don't know whether to carry on the tradition of going back home to with my family in Cov, or obviously, like, I live by myself now. I don't know whether to, like, maybe just stay in my own home and just relax.
I'm always under the impression that you see the new year as in as you wish for it to continue. So
like
whatever you do as the year comes in, you kind of, like, set the precedent for the rest of the year.
Mm.
I spent it in my house last year because I don't.
Cause you
really
were like, okay, this year I'm gonna.
I don't want to be out. I don't want to be nowhere.
Shout out, everybody. I had
fun.
I'm really looking forward to. So I write something for myself, like a letter, as I told you guys. I don't know if you remember.
Oh yeah, you send it back
to, like,
doesn't it?
Each year, like each New Year's Eve, I write a letter to myself, or is it New Year's Day? I forgot which one. And just like looking at the goals I want to achieve, and the letter that I'm gonna get, yeah. I think I was hella tired when I wrote it last time. So I actually don't remember what I wrote.
So it's like an email? Or did it
Yeah, it's
it?
Like an email, yeah. So they send you the email that you wrote to yourself. And the letter that I'm going to write, like the letter I'm going to get is going to be widely... I literally was in such a different position in my life. So I'm excited for it this time.
Yeah.
Last year I wasn't because I didn't feel like I did much.
Yeah.
But this year I'm really looking forward to it.
You know what? And I kind of realize this now, actually, since we've come into autumn, or since we're leaving summer, or however long this summer depends to go on.
Sunshine.
It's like I kind of reset my resolutions and put them forward early, because I feel like when you are waiting for the new year to come in, there's this pressure on yourself to do it all.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to say to everybody, like,
start them
go,
now.
Like, if you want to get into the gym now. If you want to start eating healthily now. Like, and then you give yourself that those months up until
to get
new
it
year,
wrong, to get it right.
And then
to,
you know that in the new year, you can kind of like keep the same energy, alter and shift. Because trying to do it all in the new year with everybody else, and you know, gym memberships spike in the new year.
Yeah, man.
And then they fall by March or February, even sometimes, even end of January. And I just feel like, there are just times where you just need to kind of have the room to do it without any pressure. And there's no pressure. Nothing's happening at this quarter of the year. Yeah. So I want to say, everybody, do your autumn resolutions.
Absolutely.
And I think that'll be pretty cool. And then you can see where, you see where you're at by 2019 in the beginning.
God.
And do it.
We're actually saying 2019.
Oh, God.
Isn't that wild? Like, I remember when we turned into the millennium and everyone went wild. Like, I vaguely remember, like, the year 2000 and the celebrations that happened for that, the fireworks. And it's now 2019.
You remember it? I don't remember it at all. Actually, no, yeah,
I do remember
Watching some long extended things on the television.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember much. I remember we had a millennium photo at school and we had like this long, like the whole school had a photo to mark the year 2000. But otherwise...
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
With me, it's what I'm very annoyed at. Like, obviously, I'm such a planner, and I was at uni. I made like this 5-year plan just before I started uni.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, yeah. Tell me why this 5-year plan had a marriage and my first child in it.
Are we going back to this?
No, and now I'm like, right, this is 2019. Oh, crap.
Not everyday marry, though.
Everyday marry, what do you mean?
Sometimes just mind your business and keep it moving. You see what I mean? Have you been watching Manhunting with my mum?
No, I haven't. I've seen clips of it.
Oh, my gosh. So this documentary with AJ Odudu, I think her name is, a presenter, amazing presenter, beautiful Nigerian woman, and she's going back to Nigeria with her mum.
Her mum to find a husband.
And to find a husband, and she goes through... She goes through like five suitors or something.
Yeah.
And it's actually so funny just because like just differing of like cultures, differing of opinions, differing of things, you know. And man, she was saying the same thing. I thought by this age I would be married and have kids. Her mom was had an arranged marriage, all this stuff. Mind you, she's living her best life out there. She's out there in Lekki doing up Bikini Babe and everything. So she's fine. But I feel like people put a lot of pressure on themselves to do these things.
I think not even just on themselves, like from a lot of the things that we're like shown, whether it's our cultures, family, social media, and then you think, oh, crap. But then I remember a quote. I remember seeing someone saying something. They said, nobody will post up their failures and their L's online.
Yeah.
Because it's the wins that. And if you're only seeing someone's wins in your head, you're seeing one perspective.
Yeah, but you could have just...
People go through so much.
You really
truly
just could have ate your food and just continue doing it. Like, I didn't get it.
No, things don't work that way. You can have so much confidence, but your will is always going to be, you know.
You know what? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, you can actually... what was I going to say? You can really just, you don't have to show your L's, you don't always have to show your wins, but you just have to be authentic in what you're doing. And it's when you're not, it's when you're presenting yourself as this complete finished product all the time.
That sucks.
That's shit. Because everyone's going to be like, you know, they're going to think of you one way, and then twos, you're going to make a mistake and it's just going to be even bigger because you've not allowed yourself the vulnerability to do it. Get vulnerable, guys.
Get vulnerable. Vulnerability, life. As I've said, vulnerability is amazing. It encourages eudaimonia. You're there trying to, like, you're feeding your soul. You're opening up your soul and your heart. So, yeah. Anyways, Alex, how's your week been?
My week's been good. We had carnival. And
I failed, guys.
Yeah. So basically, Ray was begging me for a month or two to come to carnival. I was telling her I'm going to be here, there, whatever. She's like, yeah, yeah, cool. Monday comes now. I'm asking her, we're going to be at this float, follow this float. I'm not gonna make it. I'm sick. She's ill or whatever. I mean, next time you need to come. Like, it's really fun.
Thing is, my friend was like, Ray, if you go, you'll cry in it because this crowd is mad.
Depends on who you. And I feel like it's just.
And I heard, like, from girls on Twitter, men were just misbehaving.
That's the thing. If you, like,
people were being pulled.
The general public is a bit trash. But if you think about it, if you go and you go with people who want to enjoy their time at Carnival and you actually go with a group, a good few people, not too big, and you follow a float that you like, you should be fine. Okay. Yeah. And if you follow people.
Where do you get food from?
There's various food outlets along the way. I mean, when you're on a float, you get food anyway. So it's kind of because.
You're on a float.
They provide it, they cook it on there.
On the float?
Yeah.
They cook it on the float.
Yeah. They either cook it, they pre-cook it, warm it, or they actually have food that they just put out.
Oh, rah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, like, yeah, but Carnival was amazing. It rained on Sunday. It was really long. I left at like 4 because I was shivering, but I was waved. But
MCM was shivering.
You know,
guys,
when you just think to yourself, like, okay, like, it's amazing. It's a great day.
Rain.
It's a great day. But then I'm just like, I need to kind of be back home because I know the next day I'm going to be on the road for a long time.
Yeah.
And child, when I say Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, I was lying with my feet up.
So this is why I'm there telling you, do you want to do something? Do you want to hang? I'm at home.
I'm literally at home with my feet up because I'm just like, I could barely walk because I was running, but I'd rather be doing that in my house, running around my house. But anyway, yeah, that was my week. That was really good.
Sweet.
Had a decent reading week.
Reading week.
Yeah. But what about you?
I've had annual leave from work this week, so it has been unemployment galore. I've just been chilling, eating way too much. Guys, the way I need to go to the gym is unbelievable. I've been eating too much. I've been spending way too much money. So this September, it's all about broke B, you know. If y'all want to take me out on dates, I'm available.
Yeah.
But I will not be spending my money.
For real, it's one of them ones. It's like, as soon as September comes, it's like, well, the summer is over.
Done.
Shout out everybody.
I had fun.
I'm good. Don't hit me up till New Year's Eve. It's fine.
No, there's quite a few birthdays coming. So what I do like about this time of the year is, like, it's crisp. You're inside. If you do go outside, you're in, like,
it's crisp
yard,
when that winter wind comes and sucks out the life out of your lips, bro. And like your whole face.
I
want to
buy myself a nice bougie ass winter coat with my nice boots and my nice leather gloves rabbit fur lining. You know. Oh my god! You know that video that you sent me yesterday?
Oh my god!
I'm actually still dead.
But there's a video.
Yeah.
I've already posted it up somewhere. I don't know where.
Okay,
I put
don't
it.
Post it because it's not. It's not PG.
Oh my god! Somehow, I'll share that with you guys.
Yeah, like I will share it because my Twitter timeline. Yeah. I don't know.
If you're single, don't hit me up. If you're in a relationship,
hit me up.
All right.
Sorry, guys. We're being very wayward today.
Okay, so this week we are going to speak. We're going to do our seasonal.
Seasonal reads.
List reads for y'all.
Yeah. We actually always do this, don't we?
Yeah, at some point in the year. I think it'll be good just to hear what, like, the books that we kind of want to read and have read or, you know, that's coming out. I mean, that'll be pretty cool to speak about.
Yeah. So obviously we are ending the British summer, welcoming the autumn winter season, autumn being the best, all the layers of the crisp grass, darling, all the grass is dying, darling.
Yes.
And so we're really looking forward to sharing you guys books that we think you guys should read in the next couple of weeks, and that will kind of guide you throughout the last season of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it. So we've each chosen 5 books.
Yeah.
So all in total, there'll be 10 books for you guys. I'll probably have them written in the description. So just in case you kind of want to, you know, have them all saved up. Alex will do that, and I won't.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, and yeah. Obviously, this does by no means, like, we're not saying that no other book is great. Obviously, we have some of these books we haven't even read, and like, oh, by the way, actually, have you? You know your Goodreads goals for the year.
Wow, mind your business. It's a very violent question. Can we not?
Very violent question.
Can we not though?
Have you achieved that goal by any chance? Are you anywhere near
that goal? Wow, you are proceeding with the violence.
Wait, I put down 60, I think, like you.
I put down 65.
Oh, you put down 65.
So that's a book and a half.
Have you even gotten to 60? Like,
I don't know, you know. I changed my phone. I've not been on the app.
Oh, so look at all of this.
So I'm trying to... Next question.
Okay.
I'm going to have a look. I'm going to log in to...
next question.
I'm going to log in this week and have a look.
Yeah, so I'm going to log in. But I actually want to go ham in the next few months with my reading, because as you guys know, I've had a bit of a drought. There's been a lot going on. But yeah, yeah. I'm going to go ham because I must at least be halfway. Halfway at least, you know. Can you imagine?
For real.
All right. Anyone lit this week, Alex?
This week, guys, send us people if you think that somebody should be mentioned. I haven't noticed anybody this week, although I haven't really been on social media as much.
JJ mm-hmm. Bowler for receiving, a grant that he received in order for him to write his next piece of work. Mm-hmm. And he was on The Bookseller and I read that. So shout out JJ, friend of the show. Absolutely adore him.
Mm.
Go read his book.
Shout out to him.
Yeah.
Go and do it.
All right.
let's go. Right. Shall I go first? Or you want to go first?
You can go first.
All right. So baby making season is over.
Baby making season is over. Wait, no. Baby making season is starting.
Well, you'd be out here.
No, because we are hiring out. Protectively. Well, not me, but you know.
Therefore, because then again, like, no, I don't think
this is when people are all like, you know,
and then you want to, oh, yeah, and then you procreate and you create these little beings. This is when to be born in spring,
exactly like me.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to bring this book up again.
Oh my god!
I feel like it's a good
blood clot book.
You know what? Yeah, I do think it's a good. Like, I can't rate it any higher just for the simple fact that it's a perspective that nobody seems to respect and honor.
A lot of people do.
Can't anyway, Selfish, Shallow and Self-Absorbed, edited by Megan Dome, and it's 16 writers on the decision not to have kids. I really think that there are some perspectives in here that people need to look at. I'm not saying that, don't go out and have kids. I'm not saying that at all.
We've had this conversation. We have. Before,
yeah. It's just more about the perspective of why some people would choose not to, or some people can't, or what the options are if you can't have kids, because not everybody can be blessed to have children, or, you know, like, because some people, I think there were certain essays in here about mm-hmm. aunties and uncles.
Yeah.
And there were also some essays in here about people who would just have no maternal or paternal instinct whatsoever. Like, don't bring children around me kind of thing.
That's
what some people are like.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really, it can be quite sad when we look at it and we think of it like that. But, you know, I do think it's good to just have a perspective on whatnot.
Do you think you're like the fun uncle type?
Yes. Yes, and I'd be really intrigued to see.
I think I'd be really intrigued
to see what it's like, and I do have kids, and how I treat them in comparison to my nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time, uncles and aunties treat their children differently
to their nieces and nephews. They don't have to be with you like the whole time. Like, your niece, at the end of the day, like, they go back to their parent, innit? But your child, that's your youth.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
We don't have this when you're 18, it's over business. Not in our culture.
But the thing is, in my family, like, we all raise each other. Like, I remember my cousin, when she had her kids, her child, sorry. And
yeah, that happens.
Yeah, she's basically like, oh, you know, I'm not going to give her any godparents. It's, you all you should all, help raise yeah. her.
Yeah, it takes so, a village.
And I was like, oh. But then at the same time, I was like, this is interesting, like, because it gives everybody the responsibility to do it. But yeah, I feel like for perspective's sake, I think this is a very interesting book to read. And it's the last time I'm going to mention it ever on this show.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm going to leave it there. But Selfish, Shallow and Self-Absorbed is my first book for the autumn, which I am going to read in around in end of September, October.
Yeah.
When the clocks go back.
Clocks? Wait, do they go back or forward?
They go back. They go back and... It's going to get dark.
They go back,
it's going to get dark, and everyone's going to start thinking about the end of the year and having to like apply cocoa butter several times on their face.
Oh, you know that cold. I need to learn how to switch on the heating in my house because I don't know. I just felt like I needed to share that. Shout out to Uncle Timmy for helping me switch on my oven. I still don't, like, I don't know if I got it yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's adulting, guys. This is my first winter alone. Please send me all the duvets.
But you know what, yeah, even, like, you know, you can even think to yourself, wait, it's clearly an oven. But when we looked at the oven...
I know, it was mad.
Nobody could do it.
The oven, we were, like, all stuck there, like, how do we do
that
this?
That was so funny.
Anyways.
It was in terror, like, yeah, can't you put this oven on? We're like, wait a minute. Like, he was there for ages trying to put this thing on. All right.
Okay, guys. So, my first book is a book that is not out yet. It's called Paris Echo by Sebastian Folks. This book comes out on the 6th of September 2018. It's a pretty average book, around 320 pages. And I don't know if you guys have ever read Sebastian Folks. So he wrote Bird Song, he wrote Girl at the Lion Dieu, and his books are very much surrounding, I guess he writes romantic war books, that's how I would say it. But I think this is kind of under the same realm.
Mm.
So I will just read out to you guys what it's about. Here is Paris, as you have never seen it before. A city in which every building seems to hold the echo of an unacknowledged past, the shadows of Vicky and Algeria. American postdoctoral researcher Hannah and runaway Moroccan teenager Tariq. Ooh, got a little diversity in there. This is new. Have little in common, yet both are susceptible to the daylight ghosts of Paris. Hannah listens to the extraordinary witnesses of women who were present under the German occupation war. In her desire to understand their lives and through them her own, she finds the city bursting with clues and connections. Out in the migrant suburbs, Tariq is searching for a mother he barely knew. For him, in his innocence, each boulevard, metro station and street corner is a source of surprise. In this urgent and deeply moving novel, Folks deals with questions of empire, grievance and identity. With great originality and a dark humour, Paris Echo asks how much we really need to know if we are to live a valuable life. And Sunday Times have said that Folks captures the voice of a century. The Sunday Telegraph have mentioned that the most impressive novelist of his generation. He's had loads of amazing, superb reviews from his different novels. Mm. It's a different type of book. It's I think this is very different. Sounds very different to the other novels that he's written. But do go and check it out. It's Parisians just remind you of autumn. So
what, Paris reminds you of autumn?
Yes.
Why?
The fall, the leaves. Yeah. And also the first time I went to Paris was in dead of the winter, so for me, I've never been to Paris or seen Paris in heat. It's always just clouded with a bit of sultry cold. And so yeah, I guess this is quite the perfect time for this to come out, so do please go and read it and tell us what you think. So that's Paris Echo. Paris Echo by Sebastian Folks. dun, 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 dun.
All right. So.
That's like your dude.
Wow, shut up. Okay, so. Paris Echo. Okay, cool.
Oui.
All right, next book I'm going to pick is. Actually, which one shall I do?
Which one should I do first?
I'm going to go do the ones that I mentioned earlier in the year, and then I'm going to bring the new ones a bit after. Born a Crime by my amazing... Okay, I love Trevor Noah. I don't know what it is. It's just the way... It's just the honesty and the directness that he comes with when he's doing his show and whatnot. But and I remember watching him on QI, and he was explaining the... I can't do the click, but the Hausa language. And yeah, and he was explaining it and whatnot, and it was really interesting just having his contribution to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Born a Crime is a really good autobiographical book for him. So his autobiography, and you know, he's got so many funny anecdotes of like how different he was in comparison to his cousins and his other parts of his family.
I guess because he's mixed race, right?
Yeah. So, and the one difference is that he was mixed race. The second difference was that he was just he just had a different way of thinking in comparison to all of his family. Do you know what I mean? Like he spoke English really well. Like, you know, when he went to church, and you know, speaking English was seen as this grand thing because the Bible was written in English and all these different. So it means that you must be closer to God if you are.
I knew that the Bible was translated.
That's kind of the thing. That was the thing at that time. It's like, you know, he was born in apartheid South Africa. He's got so many funny anecdotes, and I think it's a really, again, perspective building. I knew nothing. I did know about South Africa, but when you only know about it via the context of the Mandela story,
yeah,
and you know, we know about apartheid and various other things. It's a bit. So it's just nicer to hear the story through somebody who is relevant and present now. Alive and doing bits and doing Absolutely, what they're doing and yeah. they're current and what listening to Trevor Noah, I was listening to it on his audiobook. I've got both the physical copy and the audiobook, and it just made it brings you there. It kind of like see that, like, because he kind of was there, then he went to the UK, and then from the UK went to the States, and he's kind of made his career that way. And amazing. He has this whole bit about names and about how his mum called him Trevor because it had no South African connection, no South African meaning, not even a biblical meaning. She just wanted to give him a name that was like that was nothing. Like, that had no meaning attached to it, no strong semblance attached to it.
He can just make one for his own.
That's it. And, you know, because he says that in a lot of African cultures and whatnot, you've got the names have so much meaning and they carry so much pressure on the person that's wearing it.
Yeah.
It's a bit, he felt like his mum chose to just make sure that he had a name that didn't bear any of that so that he can go forth and do what he's doing.
There's also, make the name wear him.
Yeah. And there's also a bit where he was in school and, like, you know, he was finding the comparison between, like, he really affiliated himself with the black students, and the teachers were really like, well, you're not like them. You're smarter than that kind of thing. And he's like, well, they're smart too. And then she was like, well, you know, like, do you want your prospects and your possibilities to kind of, like, go down the drain when you move into their class kind of thing. And it's like this is after apartheid now. It's not obviously it's a few 5-7 years after, but it's still a lot of things still ingrained.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, he was just basically saying they're smart people, like, you know what I mean? And yeah, it was just really
much did you feel that this book was trying to paint him in a positive light? Like, it's an autobiography, so I guess he's not going to write shit about himself.
He wrote it, yeah.
But do you think it from what you're saying, is it much like, is it him trying to tell the world, oh, look, right, guys, I've always been
it was more I'm here, this is my story.
okay,
kind of thing. It was never, I don't think there wasn't, there's probably some agenda behind certain things, you know, there almost always is. But I think it was a really interesting, it was a really interesting way to kind of portray his life story, because you can see him doing this show. I think it's the I think it's the Late Show or the Late Late Show, and he's doing it, or the Daily Show. Is it the Daily? It's one of them. Anyway, he's doing one of those shows in the United States, right? And he, and people can look at you. It's this whole thing about what we're saying about your L's and your failures and whatnot.
Yeah.
People can look at you and think, oh yeah, you are successful. You're here. You're doing this. You're amazing. And they would kind of discount the story where he's come from. Mm. They would discount all of that just because he's there. And I think that this, some, this was a really affirming like book. But he was a stand-up comedian, was a stand-up comedian. And he,
I don't
even
like his stand-up comedy.
And he even
I like the wokeness in his current show, but I've listened to some of his stand-up.
He, you know, he provided the voice in Black Panther. The Black Panther?
Yeah.
I forgot which voice it was though.
The voice?
Yeah, I think it was in the car or something. Anyway, he was a voice in Black Panther movie, because, you know, he has the affiliations, the link, South Africa.
Really?
Yeah, he was in it. Very small, small, small part.
But interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that, yeah, it's a good book. Born a Crime, I'd say have a read, have a listen. A lot of people are telling me to read, to listen to the book before reading it, just because he kind of portrays the stories quite well.
Oh, okay.
Because he tells the stories quite well. But yeah, and then reading it, you kind of still pick up his voice, his voice, tone, and what, and you kind of get the idea. But yeah, Born a Crime by Trevor Noah.
Yeah, yeah.
Bang, bang.
All right. This is tiring, isn't it?
I mean, we've only done two books each.
I know. I'm like, oh, God. Loads of books. Okay, guys. So, my next book that I think you all should be reading this autumn winter season, hunty, AW 2018, is Becoming by Michelle Obama. Trumpet noises. Boop, 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 boop. So this is an intimate and powerful and inspiring memoir by the former First Lady of the United States. It's out on the 13th of November 2018. It's a bit of a thick one, around 400 pages, I'm told. And all I'm saying is, honey, go and pre-order this for all your black kids, your black self, your black husbands, and your white neighbors. Okay. So just a little bit of background. I'll just give you guys a brief a description about the book. So in a life filled with meaning and accomplishment, Michelle Obama has emerged as one of the most iconic and compelling women of our era. Hail to the yes. Do you know how it felt like to see a black woman? Okay, take away the wahala of race, that people look at his husband and he's a mixed race, he's a black president. There was a black man, sorry, a black woman walking into the White House with her silk pressed hair, okay, and her two black kids with their silk pressed hair and their little cute Sunday church dresses on that wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah.
I was like, rah.
Michelle
Obama. Anyway, so as First Lady of the United States of America, the first African American to serve in that role, she helped create the most welcoming and inclusive white city in history, while also establishing herself as a powerful advocate for women and girls in the US and around the world, dramatically changing the ways that families pursue healthier and more active lives. Have you seen her arms? Fam. Anyways. And standing with her husband as he led America through some of its most harrowing moments. Along the way, she showed us how to she showed us a few dance moves which are much better than our current prime minister. I think I think our prime minister needs a lesson or two from Michelle Obama. Crushed carpool karaoke.
Yeah, she did.
Amazing.
That was dope. They were just driving around the White House because she could not be out on the street like all these other people. That was too funny.
And raised two down-to-earth daughters. Well, actually, one of them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Needs more black friends because her white friends are tripping. Under an unforgiving media glare. In her memoir, a work of deep reflection and mesmerizing storytelling, Michelle Obama invites readers into her world, chronicling the experiences that have shaped her from her childhood on the south side of Chicago to her years as an executive balancing the demands of motherhood and work to her time spent at the world's most addressed. With unerring honesty and lively wit, she describes her triumphs and her disappointments, both public and private, telling her full story as she has lived it in her own words. So, you know, girl didn't get no damn ghostwriter, all right? Mm. And on her own terms, warm, wise, and revelatory. Becoming is the deeply personal reckoning of a woman of soul and substance who has steadily defied expectations and whose story inspires us to do the same.
There's going to be hella quotables.
Fam.
Hella quotables.
We're not even putting this on like Instagram. Like, this ain't no Drake stuff where we just like.
No, it's going to be the memes. It's going to be her like looking into the distance with like the writing that just appears.
Right?
You got to press play. Right. And all sorts. It's going to be a craziness.
I can just, I see her like, her quotables on like the fronts of books, you know, when they have two Mary Ann Ward and then some gibberish. Yes. I see that.
Okay.
I see that. I'm going to wrap my novel. I'm going to take my quotes from her book.
Yeah.
So yeah, Becoming is coming out, guys, from our first ever black first lady, who was more than just first lady. Because I don't really, like when I say first lady, it's just Melania, whatever. I don't even know what she's doing.
She's stressed. Did you see her reading to the children? Like Barack Obama and Michelle sat down and they did animations. They were amazing. They did storytelling. And then you had Melania, who was just like, the kids was like, help, take me back to my bed.
You know, when like some leaders just don't know how to build that rapport with people. They just don't have that charm. Like,
they don't have any soul.
Yeah.
Or spirit.
Spirit. I don't know where God was I don't know where Comrade Teresa was when God was handing out rhythm. Because, guys, I'm lost for words. First of all, in the words of our good friend Ashley, where are your trade deals?
Where are your trade deals?
Why are you not? What are you doing in the motherland dancing?
Teresa's struggling.
I feel like she's
going through some things.
No, like she's a dictator.
I'd say she needs her friends, but she hasn't
got any. Auntie is not willing to leave her post. Like, she's not. I mean, I admire that in a way, because she's like, listen, I didn't put you guys in this mess. You did. I'm just here trying to clean it up.
She wasn't doing a 1-2 step. She was doing a 1-1 foot. I don't even know what she was doing. The 1 foot. I don't know what was going on.
So many gifts, so many like music put on top of it. It's like, yeah, actually, people on Twitter are the most creative. Black people are so damn creative. We are the best.
It will be our undoing. All right. My book.
Oh my goodness.
This next book. So many Jamaicans can't find love.
including
Alexia Arthurs wrote a book called How to Love a Jamaican.
How to Love a Jamaican.
You know what? And I've really, when I was first told about this book coming out, I looked at the person and I was thinking to myself, huh?
You looked at the person?
I looked at them. I was like, what are you talking about? And then they're like, yeah, it's a collection of short stories about, like, from Alexia Arthurs, who's a Jamaican woman.
Is she like diaspora and Jamaican?
Yeah. And she wrote a collection of short stories. I'm going to start it soon, but it's from what I when I flicked through and read around it, like, it's got so many amazing stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically, it hopes to remove the stereotype of the Jamaican, because, you know, we've got things like Crick Crack by Edwidge Dandicat, who wrote about Haiti, and we've even got Roxane Gay, who's written about Haitian stories. We've got Juno Diaz, who's written a lot about the Dominican experience. We do have stories by Jamaicans, like Kai Miller, who've written...
Oh my goodness, August Town. Incredible book.
You know, we've written all those things. And then we've got Andrea Levy, who has written things like Small Island and The Long Song. But The Long Song and Small Island, they're very much based in the colonial era. And this story, this collection, is hella millennial. It's hella current. It's, you know, based. These could be real people.
So is it short stories based on Jamaicans finding love in Jamaica?
They're not all about love, but it's about, like, there are certain stories. Like, there's one in there about an athlete who is sleeping with her roommate's boyfriend, but having visions of one of a murdered international student out there. There's another one where this woman is, like, dating an older lover in Jamaica,
mm-hmm.
and he has, like, three teeth, and he's waiting for her at the school gate. So she's kind of managing her embarrassment, or, you know, those kind of things. It's a really interesting, it kind of, like, takes the experience of, like, back home in Jamaica, as well as in the diaspora. And it kind of is shutting down, just it's shutting down the reggae source and Usain Bolt stereotype.
Mm.
And that's all it is, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's actually showing that these are real people with real lives. And
when I was a kid, like, I had quite a few Jamaican friends, and I grew up in Walthamstow, and most of my best friends were Jamaican. And I saw that the stereotype that was very much shown in schools anyway is you either get the yardy, the rough one who's, like, just bad gang, right? This is what I saw. And then this is what was alleviated in school. And then you had... which I would say were, like, a lot of the boys and some girls.
Mm.
And then you had the really Christian conservative, shout out to my best friend Jemani at school, who, like, this girl, like, her family, very Christian, very super uber conservative. And I was always like, she was always, I think, made to feel a bit like people would look at her and be like, well, you're not what I expect a Jamaican to be like.
Mm.
And I feel like when this conversation online that was happening with regards to Caribbeans and West Africans as diaspora on, that really annoyed me.
It happens every year around Carnival.
Really, it's despicable.
It just doesn't make...
Because people were actually kind of like trying to oust each other on whose parent is more ignorant. And I was just like... Do you see what you're doing? My parent will never allow me to. And I'm just like, you really should not be happy to spill these things on the timeline. Because as far as I'm concerned, you're just telling the world that your parent is backwards.
It's everything. As I said, like, it's all about insecurity. It's all about, you know, wanting... Because, you know, a lot of it is about the crowd as well. Like, they would say this so they know that... Because there'll be people that would agree with that. Or feel that they should agree with that, because that's what their experience is of parents. I mean, yes, a lot of West Indian parents are a lot more liberal in certain places and have conversations with their kids about things. But then some of us is really conservative.
Very conservative.
Hella traditional.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for a lot of West Indian kids in the same way that, which is just the African diasporic like way of living.
But I was actually wanting to bring up the conversation that we had last night, Alex, about how a lot of the times the stereotypes that some Caribbean countries have isn't because these diaspora wars mainly take part between people that have never even seen their roots.
That've never been
that
back.
Have never been to
for
their
various
roots.
Reasons. For various whether reasons. Whether it be because their parents don't want to go back or they can't afford just, it exactly. or whatever.
But however, like, you need to understand that this country, when you live here, you assimilate and you take on values indirectly, whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
And so when I was like, we were talking to our friend yesterday and we were talking about marriage and how a lot of like some West Africans were on the timeline that I saw were saying, oh, you know, Jamaicans, Caribbeans, they don't marry. But are they talking about the Jamaicans back home in Jamaica? Or are they talking about the people in England who have assimilated? Because there are so many Africans who have also assimilated.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet that was like, oh.
And they're not those values. They are British values.
They were like, a lot of Jamaicans don't want to marry until before 40 or something, blah, 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 blah. But yet we were watching Manhunting with my mom and a lot of them were licking 40 and weren't married. So
it's a global issue.
It is a global issue. But at the same time, it's like the majority of people in the West Indies, like they will, if they, especially if they're growing up there, they're going to grow up, they're going to study, they're going to marry, they're going to have kids. That's typical of what it is. I mean, obviously in the UK, like people are very like individualistic and they will wake up and be like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to do this. I don't want kids. I don't want blah, 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 blah. They just take a completely different stance on it. They want to be here, there, and wherever. They want to, you know, take all the fruits of life and not give much back to it. And I feel like when you're taking those things out of context and you're kind of putting it on a group of people that know that certain things just aren't true, you can't. It just shows again that your own insecurity
and it within shows your the own self, because
it's really funny because like the small percentage of people that are ignorant are the loudest.
Exactly.
So therefore, they're the ones that kind of make certain points seem as if they are true when it's a global or like it's a universal thing when there are people that would know this. They know that they wouldn't walk around and call a Jamaican a Jamo because they know that was derogatory, mm-hmm. that was used negatively towards them. Do you see what I mean? So
it's just annoying because like when you were a kid at school, there was like backlash against being African.
There wasn't even that in my school, you know.
Definitely, if you were African, you'd be called Baba Tunde or whatever. Like it was, and then now, like you get older, and in those times, it was cool to be associated with the Caribbean because, I mean, the slang, the sportsmanship, it was cool then. And now I'm on the TL and I see the reverse when we're looking at the Caribbeans and their values or the values that you think that they have. It all needs to stop because what are we doing? We are grown adults. We understand culture. We understand values. We understand assimilation in the Western world. We understand how empire has allowed us to be separated and has allowed our minds to develop in a way that is different. It has changed our language. It has changed our culture. We understand all of this stuff, and yet we are still turning guns against each other. We are still turning our tongues against each other when really we should be working together to unify the diaspora.
I'm literally tired of the same old conversations. It's plantain, not plantain.
Right?
It's whining is sexual. Whining is not sexual.
It's just
a carnival is for everybody. Carnival's not for everybody. Afrobeat should be played there. Afrobeat shouldn't be played there. I'm tired. I'm tired of it all. Yeah. Like literally, I'm tired of it all. You know, you're casting so many of these things just require actual thought. Yeah, Afrobeats can be played at carnival. Afrobeats can be played at carnival. It just won't be played on the main procession. That's just And Afrobeats is played at carnival anyway. So, you know what I mean? It's not a big thing. Whining, whatever. If it, sexual, everybody starts to ask the question between the two. Which one is it? Do what you have to do and make your own decision. It's not about trying to rally a group of people to make and to fight and to do all these things. Like, yeah. Just try to understand the culture and
be sensitive and do not impose your ideals of what someone's culture is. When someone tells you this is what it is, you accept it. You can't question it because you don't belong to that culture. You can only appreciate and take it on in any way that you feel to, but you can't then impose and say, well, this is how it's like, this is how I see it as like, because you're at the periphery, you don't know Wagwan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you see what I did?
Yeah, man, you don't know.
Thank you.
All right. Anyway, that's How to Love a Jamaican by Alexia Arthurs. I'm so looking forward to getting my teeth stuck into it. And I want to meet her. I want to meet you. Someone make it happen. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
All right.
Anyways, so my next book is, hunties, let me get it up because I kind of wrote it down somewhere. Oh, okay. So the next book that we have here is Scribble Yourself Feminist by The Slumflower. The Slumflower came out with a book earlier this year called What a Time to Be Alone. Her next book is called just wow, dropping books. Wow.
For real.
Just, why are you dropping them? Incredible scenes. I love it.
I love a productive queen.
A productive queen.
I love a productive queen.
Scribble Yourself Feminist by Chidera. And so essentially, this is the description. From Chidera Egeru, the woman behind The Slumflower and hashtag Saggy Boobs Matter. It's been illustrated by Manjit Thapp, and it's this is what it includes: coloring pages featuring Manjit's beautiful illustrations of inspirational quotes and feminist heroines from around the world. It includes witty comebacks for everyday sexism, which I think is incredible, because the world needs to hear your sass. I don't like that word sass, but but if it's used from a black person, I'm happy about it. Okay. Design your feminist wardrobe. Design your outfit for the next march. T-shirts, badges, sashes, and power panties. Power panties! I love that. You can make as fabulous as you are. Make your own Galentine's Day card for the ladies you love. Incredible. I love that. Oh, it's making me all tingly. I love that. Rewrite your favorite femi classics. Why can't the girl save the day for once? Oh, I mean, it just gets better. Rewrite your favorite femi classics, guys. Can you imagine writing your favorite story and instead of the woman being, you know, the romantic subject, you know, she's the one that wins. She's the one that's destroying mountains, jumping hoops, killing giants. Wow.
I think that'd be good. I'll definitely get one to give to my nieces and stuff.
Absolutely. The last part, so there has so many things, and I actually, the last thing what I love is they have a create your own feminist hall of fame. So you can draw your own heroes and imagine if every gallery had a feminist babes wing, which I think is phenomenal. So I think this is absolutely incredible to get your young girls, young black girls in the family to be able to ensure that they understand that even though as they grow older and they start to see that the world is against them in a way and the world is not actually treating them equally to men, they still will have an understanding of their importance, the fact that they are equal to everything and everyone. And I feel like this really needs to be built in as a child. You can't just start, I mean, obviously you can because we've all been doing it. You start, you know, becoming a feminist when you actively understand. I mean, I was a feminist one day, I just didn't know what it was. Mm. And I feel like when you get young girls and you are raising them as feminist with our beautiful manifesto from Chimamanda, and things like this, like Scribble Yourself Feminist, these are all active things that you can give young girls, young black girls specifically, to ensure that they have a sense of self. They understand that no man can take them for idiot, yeah? No one. In any aspect of life, be it work, be it friendship, be it love, be it anything, even like crossing the road, no one can take them
crossing the road
for a fool. They have that sense of self that ensures they win, and they are glorious, and they are beautiful, and they are happy, and their confidence and their star is their own.
Yeah.
So please go and buy this incredible book and read it and give it to those who need to read it. That Scribble Yourself Feminist by The Slum Flower.
You know what? I was always low-key worried. Like, when my nieces were born,
yeah,
I was like, yo, I don't want any man taking them for idiot. that's like the one thing that, yeah, I don't want to happen. But I would definitely be getting something like that for them.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's like, important. Especially when they get to the ages of 7, 8.
They start asking questions.
Yeah. And they want to start to colour things. So it's still fun. It's still educational at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a very, very interesting book to have. So I'm going to be using my coins.
But you know, I'm going to get that for myself.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, where are my colouring pens?
Okay, next book is by Russell Brand. It's called Recovery.
Okay.
Now, so Russell Brand, he went through a whole he was a drug addict, and he's been on this campaign to say that addiction is a mental health illness, and it needs to be kind of treated as such, mm-hmm, not as a crime. And he has basically provided a 12-point plan within this book called Recovery, and it's based off his own experiences with drug addiction and alcohol addiction and the like. He has a very erratic personality. He's a Gemini. He has a very erratic personality.
Wow. And shots fired.
It's really funny when I see things like this, because I'm thinking, like, if your personality is erratic like this, how much of it, what was it like before you took up the drugs and the alcohol kind of thing? Like, if you ran, like, it probably amplified his personality to a point now where he's just always going to be on 10 because it's just the way he is now. But it would be interesting to see what people are like before they go through these transitions and go through these things. But the book Recovery is really interesting. I had a bit of a flick through it this morning. And he has some, in typical Russell Brand fashion, hella swearing.
Less swearing.
And hella crassness. Okay. But it basically will drag you for filth. He basically, the first point is, are you a bit fucked? In there, he talks about what you want to change, what pain or fear do you associate with, like, within this area?
Mm-hmm.
What pleasure are you getting out of not changing, all these different things. So he basically, he utilized it, like, within the segments are really deep things for you to kind of start thinking about, but it's everyday language. So
get that book for.
Yeah. It's called Could You Not Be Fucked? So it's the second point. And it's questions of, like, do I believe that I need to change?
Yeah. Because you need to believe that, yeah.
Do I accept that change means I must think, feel, or act differently? Like, all these different things. Let me run through to step, like, 5. Honestly, tell someone trustworthy about how fucked you are. So he keeps it funny, but he also keeps it relevant. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Step 8 is prepare to apologize to everyone for everything affected by your being so fucked up. So you came to just be a fly girl.
Sorry, Nick.
And get called. And like step 12 is look at life less selfishly, be nice to everyone, help people if you can. And he kind of, like, helps you gain your personal power back and then give things back to others. But it's a very interesting read. I think that if you are, again, about perspective, if you're actually looking to start thinking about how the impacts of addiction and the kind of stuff that you can do, if you're tired of reading other mental health books and they're telling you about all these different things about energies and all these different things. He talks about the divine and whatnot a lot in what he talks about. But this book is literally for anybody. You could just get those points. Are you a bit fucked? Yes, I am. How can I fix it? Could you be fucked? No, I can't, but I want to be. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there we go. Recovery by Russell Brand.
I love that you do that at the end.
What?
Recovery
by Russell Brand. Hire me for voiceovers. Hire me.
All right, so my next book, guys, is a very quick one because it's How to Stop Time by Matt Haig. I've been reading this for a very long time, and you guys know that I've been reading it. I absolutely love it. It's adorable. It's about a man called Tom Hazard, who is an Albus, and Albuses are people who live for a very, very long time, and they age very, very, very slowly. They normally die at around 900 years old in their sleep. And they go through history, and he's a history teacher, and he's looking for his daughter, who is another Albus, and there's like an Albus society which tries to hide and keep this society a secret because, you know, human beings are horrible, and they'll probably try and experiment on them and kill them, so they're trying to stop that. And it's all about going through time in history, and he's actually a history teacher, so he's kind of cheating in a way because he's teaching his students stuff that he already has been through. And I've just been reading a part where I've met Shakespeare, and Shakespeare's like cool and cute and like, you know, relaxed and chilled, and he's like a normal person who has really bad breath. And yeah, guys, I think you should really read this. And that's me. That is How to Stop Time by Matt Haig. It is adorable.
Okay. And the final one that I will be speaking about today is called The New Jericho. Not even that. The New Testament by Jericho Brown, even. I came across this book in Waterstones. I was reading an article, and then I went straight to Waterstones after. And it's written by Jericho Brown. He's Louisiana born and bred, black gay man. He's got written his poetry collection, and it's about relating his experiences with the church to his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting take on things, very beautifully written. And it's a perspective that, like, people are aware of, but they don't really, but it's not really been, I've not really read much about people having written about going to church and still going to church and being a particular sexuality and being accepted in their church kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he basically said, you know, he goes to a church that doesn't use fear as a way to keep their followers. And so he's very open in the church. They know who he is. They know what he's about. And they're very accepting and tolerant. And I think that this is one of those books that I feel will, you know, like, he's got a particular voice. He's got a particular tone. His rhythm and the way that he, and his talent for words is really portrayed well in the book. And I think that there's something about the subject matter that will help kind of anybody who is going through those particular issues that we're seeing. I mean, I was just reading up the other day, there's a 9-year-old boy who killed himself.
Yeah, that was
because he came out as gay to his mum and then at school, and they bullied him for a whole year and told him to kill himself and all these sorts. And his mum came in and found him hung, 9 years old. We need more of these literatures. You see what I mean? We need more of these literatures to be able to have icons there for young people who are going through this stuff, because you can't have people that are just like having the whole existence erased, or because of this whole idea that it's a choice, of this whole idea that everybody's going, like, it's something wrong with you, or do you see what I mean? And people are out here literally dying because of this. And this is a 9-year-old. Who knows what this 9-year-old could have done to impact the world?
Yeah.
Some could argue that his impact is the fact that we're talking about this, but at the same time, books like this and would really, really help, like, even just young people, even if they just know of who Jericho Brown is, just to know that things will necessarily get better, but there's a possibility of things out there. And this is the younger generation. They'll be the ones that we're changing shit. They are going to be running the world at a certain point, and we need to be able to make sure that they are safe and secure and not walking around threatened by people who don't understand or don't want to understand or have such ingrained hatred for no particular reason.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that we really need to start getting on. And yeah, so I want to say the New Testament, a poetry collection by Jericho Brown, is very African American heavy, but I would say read it. Go get your life. It's very thin.
Yeah.
A huge collection, but it's quite thin. So
fabulous.
Yeah.
All right. So my final book is oh crap, I always never have it up. It's called Demon Voices by the amazing Philip Pullman, who wrote his Dark Materials trilogy. Well, now there's four. I don't know if the prequel is in the trilogy though, so that's weird. wait, you haven't read it, have you, Alex?
What?
What's it called? The trilogy, Lyra and all that. What's it called again?
Yeah, his Dark Materials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the one that just came out and I was like, the Book of Dust. Have you read it?
I haven't finished it, no. But I've read it.
So anyways, the Demon Voices, Essays on Storytelling is his latest book. And essentially it is 30 essays written over 20 years. One of the greatest storytellers ever. And it's about the process of writing and the art of storytelling. And he says that obviously the art of storytelling is everywhere present in the essays themselves, in the instantly engaging tone, the vivid imagery and striking phrases, the resonant anecdotes, the humor and the learnedness. Together they are greater than the sum of their parts, a single sustained engagement with story and storytelling. And apparently it's great. I actually spoke to Derek about this and he's like, yeah, apparently he's heard that it's been amazing as well. And yeah, like, I'm really excited to read this. I'm actually going to read it. I'm going to get it and read it and see whether it lives up to its expectations. It has a 5-star rating on Amazon and really amazing reviews. Yeah, I'm going to get that on Prime so it can come on Monday. But yeah, so that's my last recommendation for the autumn winter season. Demon Voices, Essays on Writing, on Storytelling by Philip Pullman. I don't think we should do the movie because I feel like this episode should just be the books.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And you don't have a
ranty. Oh, no. The one thing I was going to rant about is not worth being ranting about, so.
Okay. guys, thank you for listening. Make sure that you hit us up. Anything that you want to suggest to add to our reading list, add to the reading list with anybody that
yes, if you have more winter reads, do tell us. Actually, message us and then we'll like check that, put them out on Twitter and just always just, you know.
Yeah.
Keep that updated.
Yeah. So we are going to be at London Podcast Festival. We put a tweet out with the link, so if you go out and have a look for that,
come and see us.
Yeah, London Podcast Festival, September the 16th. We'll be doing a live show for you there. We'll also be doing Off the Page at Cheltenham Festival on October 14th. So make sure that you guys get your tickets if you want to come down and see us out there.
I thought Cheltenham was in Wales. It's not.
It's near Gloucestershire.
Oh, it's a shire.
It's a shire. And make sure that you guys...
Only through the shire in my grains of wheat.
Get your tickets. get your tickets. More information is at mostly-lit.com/news.
Yep.
We did put the tweet out. We put it on our Instagram. So if you want to actually just go straight to those places to get the info, go for it. Do what you got to do.
Thank you guys so much.
Do you have anything coming up soon? Anything you want to share?
No. I'm tired.
I got something very soon, which will come out this... where are we, September? Yeah, it'll be coming out this month, so...
Ooh.
I've been tired, Ray. Mate, tired.
I hear you.
But yeah, I look forward to talking more about it closer to the time. But for now, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Comment,
make
email.
Make sure you comment, email, do what you got to do.
Know where we are.
And we really want to know if you've listened, if you've not listened, if you've heard of or going to read any of these books that we've spoken about. And I want to get your take on it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. All right, bye, holes. Assalamu alaikum.
See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.